So Thanksgiving, I don't think that I have ever taught a Thanksgiving message per se, but I decided to take a break from the core and to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, how it should impact us. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. He stated this in the middle of a personal crisis that he was facing. But I think it's the same encouragement that if he were here this morning, he would share it with us. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. You know, sometimes it's, in terms of Thanksgiving, it's difficult to be thankful when you're living in a world that's full of trouble. You know, trouble is real. How many of you know that? We're having a great time on Thanksgiving, all gathering together with the family, and one of my cousins got stung by a bee. And I saw her yesterday, and she's got this big red place. It looks brutal. You know, trouble is real. Tragedy is real. Danger is real. Tribulation is real. Failure is real. Taxes and death are real. I know that you already know this, but let me define for you what trouble is, just in case you didn't. Probably you knew what trouble was by first grade. In fact, some of you were trouble by that point in life. But let me define it for you. Trouble, difficulty, problems, tribulation, crisis. Here's some synonyms that will be a great encouragement to you. Unpleasantness, hassle, harassment, agitation, strife, stress, distress, anxiety, concern, worry, inconvenience, bother, difficulty, problems, challenges, tests, disasters, reversals, disappointments. The list goes on. But this describes life. Life isn't filled with trouble every day, but sometimes there are those days when it rains, it pours. Now, I grew up in Idaho. I never understood what that meant. Because Idaho, where I lived, we got 12 inches of precipitation per year. So it never rained hard. And then we moved to Texas. And my goodness, when it rains here, it pours. I think there was one day out on the ranch, it rained, it poured 8 inches of rain on the ranch. Sometimes in life, trouble comes to us in bucket loads. And when it rains, it pours. In spite of everything that can go wrong and will go wrong and has gone wrong, we are not without hope because Jesus has overcome the world. Will you say that with me? Jesus has overcome the world. This means that the power and authority that Jesus ultimately has trumps the powers of darkness, the powers of sin, the powers of this world. I was having a conversation 2 days ago with my cousin Gary. And we were talking about the trouble that he has been facing over the last 2.5 years. 2.5 years ago, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He was having a routine physical checkup with a full blood workup. And in his blood work, an enzyme, just one enzyme showed up that shouldn't have been there that suggested that his liver was under distress. And so they did further tests and they took a scan of his body and they found that he had this small cancer near the top of his pancreas. Now, I don't know if you are aware of this, but when the doctors tell you that you have pancreatic cancer, it's almost like a death sentence. The odds for curing somebody with pancreatic cancer are slim to none. Only 8.2% of patients with pancreatic cancer live beyond 5 years. So, Gary was given chemotherapy to reduce the size of the tumor so that they could do an operation. They weren't even sure that it would respond to that, but his body did respond. The tumor shrunk down. They were able to do an operation and remove the tumor, and they had clear margins. Then he had a more radical surgery called the Whipple procedure, where his gallbladder, appendix, part of his pancreas, and small intestine were removed, and the route from his stomach was redirected somehow. I have no idea what that all means, but it was a grueling 7-hour surgery. He then endured an additional 8 months of chemotherapy, and then he had the full scans of his body. And he was presented with this news. As far as medical science can determine, Gary is cancer-free. So he asked his doctor this last week, "So doctor, how long can I expect to live?" And the doctor said, "Well, we don't know what the answer to that is because you're an outlier." He said, "Well, what does that mean?" He goes, "You're outside the lines of anything we've experienced. We don't know how to explain you." He goes, "As far as we know, you'll live probably as long as anybody else. As far as we know, you are the less than 1% of people that actually survive this." They said that Gary is an anomaly. And I choose to believe that Gary is a miracle. Nevertheless, Gary has experienced trouble in this world. You'll never hear me get up in the pulpit and try to sell Jesus as a cure-all that will help you avoid all the troubles and trials of life, because it's not an accurate representation of the truth. We are not in the snake oil business. We're not trying to sell you something that isn't true. Jesus Christ is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. And he has indeed overcome the world. Furthermore, those that would tell you that you're suffering because of your lack of faith, they're just not aware of what the Bible really teaches. Have you ever heard of a missionary by the name of Paul? How many of you have ever heard of Paul? The Apostle Paul. We quote him often here. In fact, we're going to quote him today. The Apostle Paul had trouble. Let me read to you some of his autobiography. It is found in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 24 through 28. And he reads this. He writes this. "From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one." Boy, that had to be glorious. "3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." Wow. Not only did the Apostle Paul not avoid trouble, sometimes it was his faith in Christ, his service for Christ, that contributed to the troubles that he experienced. He didn't suffer because he was doing something wrong, because he had a lack of faith. He was suffering because he had faith and because of the works that he was doing. He suffered because he was doing something right. Now, if you're looking for a carefree life that has no trouble at all, you're living on the wrong planet. Seriously, our planet is extraordinary and beautiful. But it is also a planet that is under the curse of sin. We have bugs that bite and sting. We have poisonous plants and animals. I was reading about this particular tree that's found in southern Florida. And they said that everything about the tree is toxic, that you shouldn't even breathe the air around this particular tree, that it will kill you if you consume its little fruit that looks like apples. And it doesn't just kill you, it puts you in great pain before it kills you. Wonderful earth. We have volcanoes, earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, forest fires, and hurricanes. We have molds and viruses and dangerous bacteria. I don't know what is in the air right now, but we spent the evening last night out around a fire, and every single person in my household is coughing. It was a glorious night. Every grandkid in the house was coughing. We're vulnerable to sunburn, frostbite, gravity, drowning, animals, people who drink and drive, and literally surrounded by a sea of people that could only be described as totally depraved. Look at the people next to you. It's ugly, isn't it? This is the real world. One of my childhood friends, Kathy Olea, lived through the Paradise Fire in California, also called the Camp Fire. By the way, it's called two different things because the feds and the locals can't get the same name. So it goes by two different names, but it's the same fire. Okay. Anyway, it's the deadliest fire in American history. It just happened, and her daughter, Kathy's daughter, posted a picture of her house. Let's go to the next slide. That's her house. She moved into this house in Northern California about a year ago. And she had expressed a year ago of how thankful she was. It's a beautiful place, beautiful setting. She loved being there. And she said, it looks like the only thing that survived was the Thanksgiving pumpkin in the front. In spite of the trouble that Kathy and her family are living through right now, she also posted a picture on Thanksgiving. Let's go to the next slide. Happy Thanksgiving. In spite of all the trouble, in this world you'll have tribulation, you'll have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Her faith is still in Christ. Here's the point I'm trying to make. You can focus on the trouble that you're facing and let it consume and control you. Or you can focus on God's provision and goodness and let the peace that passes understanding guard your heart and mind. I'm convinced that I will face trouble in this life. I am also convinced that God will see me through, that God's grace is sufficient for whatever I face, that God's power is greater than whatever other power I come against, that God's love will overcome and see me through. It's this confidence in the Lord. I've taken the things that I care about. My children, my grandchildren, the people in this congregation, and I've committed those things to the Lord. I can't worry about it all. I can't fix it all, and I can't keep them from trouble. But I can entrust them into the care of a God that loves them more than even I love them. Can I get an amen? The Apostle Paul could have focused on his troubles, and they were numerous. They were life-threatening. Instead, while in prison, he wrote these following words. This is a great text for Thanksgiving. So if you'll turn with me in your Bible to Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians, the third chapter. Beginning to read with verse 15, although I would suggest that you read the entire chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. Colossians, the third chapter, verses 15 through 17, reads like this. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So here we have the Apostle Paul, who suffered greatly for the gospel, and he's exhorting us to be thankful, to sing with thankfulness, and in all our activities, in word or deed, to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. So he's telling us, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. Sometimes it's easier said than done. Ever heard of a guy by the name of Job? I always hated as a kid if somebody's going to tell the whole story of Job. I'm not going to tell the whole story because most of you know it, but he's put through the ringer. Satan attacks him and strips away everything in life that Job loves. So his family, gone. His wealth, gone. His reputation, gone. His health, gone. His sense of well-being, gone. And his friends tell him to curse God and die. With friends like that, who needs friends? In spite of the massive losses that Job endured, there is one thing that he retained, something that the enemy couldn't steal, something that he was unwilling to give up. He was unwilling to give up his faith. So it was all that coughing last night that kept me awake. So in Job, the first chapter, verses 20 through 22, reads like this. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I shall return. He must have been born without hair. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. That's pretty huge. Job didn't blame God for his troubles. Wow, I wish I could say the same. When we're hurt, when we are hurt or suffer a loss or a reversal of fortune, or suffer emotional pain, we want to lash out and fix the blame on something tangible. We blame our circumstances on something or someone, forgetting that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. We blame others sometimes for our own foolish actions, forgetting that the law of sowing and reaping is in force. We blame God for our time of distress, forgetting that all things work together for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purposes. And before you start placing the blame on other people or things or God, just take a deep breath and be still before the Lord. Ask him if he's trying to teach you something. And then rest in the knowledge that he is in control and that ultimately he is going to work all things for your good. We sing that song, all things work together for my good. 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 You're going, are you a broken record, RJ? No, it's just that in that song it repeats that line. States that line and then it repeats it like three times. How many of you believe that all things work together for your good? If you really believe that, then you will know peace and you will have confidence. If this morning while I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the local sheriff and some of his deputies broke in through the back of the building and arrested me and Bill Graham and hauled us off to jail and chained us to the wall after beating us, all because we didn't pay heed to the New American Law, which forbid the teaching of the Word of God in public places. And of course, this is a fictitious illustration. But if this happens in the future, I'm not sure how I will react. I am unjustly arrested and hauled off, and I am beaten, and I'm chained to the wall, and I'm not chained to the wall with my wife, it's Bill. And this is the story of what happened to Paul and Silas. And they had an unbelievable reaction to what happened to them. Acts the 16th chapter, verse 25, reads this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. You have got to be kidding me. You've been falsely arrested. You have been beaten. You've been thrown into prison without benefit of a trial. You've been chained to a wall in a damp, dungy, smelly prison cell. And you what? You start singing hymns? You start worshiping? You start giving thanksgiving to God? You know, I understand the praying part, but you're singing? How many of you find that just amazing? Man, when something bad happens to me, my first reaction is usually not breaking out in song and worship. Be interesting to see what the world, what people around us would do if we began to break into spontaneous praise and singing every time something bad happened to us. Wow. Paul and Silas, don't you know, this is the time, if there was ever a time, this is the time to curse God and die. This is the time to place blame, to lose hope. It is the normal human reaction to trouble. But I want you to know that shouldn't be the reaction of people of faith. We don't trust God just in the easy times. We trust God when things get tough and when there's trouble. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be in the camp of faith. I would rather believe that if I had been sent into the promised land as a spy, I would have been one of the spies that came back with a good report. I would like to believe that I would have been one of the people on the ark. Are you with me? I would like to believe that I would have been with the three Hebrew children and I would have refused to bow before the golden idol because I would have trusted that my God would see me through, and even if he didn't, I would not bow or bend. That's what faith is. I trust God to take care of me, but if he doesn't, I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to curse God and die. I'm going to trust him. And I would like to believe that had I been chained with Paul and Silas, that I would have lifted my voice and I would have sung loudly. And all the prisoners would have been listening to me because when I sing loudly, it's loud. Please note, I am thankful. And I'm not thankful because life has been easy. I'm thankful because of Jesus. Let me tell you what I believe Thanksgiving is all about. From the perspective of American history, it's about the pilgrims who landed at Plymouth Rock. They went through the first winter there, and it was horrific. I don't know if you know this, but many of the pilgrims did not survive the first winter. In fact, half of them died, including William Bradford's wife. They died. But when they brought in the first harvest, they celebrated and give thanks to God 3 days. I'm here to tell you, church, that we need to stop having Thanksgiving the way we've been having it. We need to have it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then we should have a feast on Sunday. We should even go one beyond the pilgrims. Let's make it a 4-day holiday. And then we can roll ourselves out to work the next day. 53 pilgrims. That's all that was left. And 90 Native Americans celebrated, and God gave God thanks for his provision. And I want you to know, it would have been very easy for the pilgrims to focus on their losses. They did not focus on their losses. They focused on God's provision and his goodness. They gave thanks. When I was a kid, my dad served as the main song leader at our church, and one of the songs he would sing was, "Count Your Blessings." You know, I don't think I'm going to even sing this song. But the lyrics go like this. When upon life's billows you are tempted tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, love this rhyme, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. How many of you actually know this song? And how many of you, the melody is playing in your head as I'm saying these lyrics, okay? Yeah. I should have just led the song. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? You know, I'd like to sing it as badly as I can. Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep on singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings. I think sometimes Dad would just hold that out to see how many people would pass out. You know, it was kind of like that cartoon with Bugs Bunny leading the hand just stays there. He leaves, the hand still going, you know, and you're turning all these shades of color. It was like, count your blessings. We had fun in church. We had to do certain things to make it fun anyway. Name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. Now, I have to be honest and say that this song used to annoy me. I thought it suffered from a Pollyanna view of life and was somewhat naive. Because I have been tempted, tossed. I have been discouraged, thinking all was lost. Man, I still remember the day. It's like a year ago. And Earl Wood comes into my house and he goes, RJ, I've got some bad news. I was already feeling bad because I was sick. Missed church that day. I'm laying on the couch. I'm going, just give it to me straight, bro. You know that four-wheeler that you love, that Yamaha 700 Grizzly? It burned completely to the ground. It's not repairable. It's a total loss. Wow, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. I only paid $10,000 for that machine because I've had machines like that forever out at the ranch and never had a problem. I didn't put insurance on it. Man, it is difficult to count everything joy, you know? It's just thinking all is lost, burdened with a load of care, carrying a cross that seems too heavy to bear. I've been there, done that. And I don't always feel like singing when I receive that news. I don't always feel like rejoicing. I don't always feel like giving thanksgiving. I don't always feel great under those circumstances. I just don't always feel. RJ, are you suggesting that your faith is based on what you're feeling in the moment? Or is your faith based on something greater and stronger than just your feelings? Like maybe the creator of all that is. Based on, not on feelings, but on the completed work of what Christ accomplished on the cross. What are you basing your faith on? Feelings? How many of you know you can't really trust your feelings? They're so whimsical. They come and they go. I mean, some of you are hungry right now, wanting to get out. That's what you're feeling right now. I'm hungry. That's what my grandkids said 20 minutes this morning after they ate breakfast. Seriously, it was like, I'm hungry. It's like, how can you be hungry? You ate 20 pancakes. We fed you all kinds of gluten. You should be full for the next year. Do you know when real faith kicks in? Faith kicks in when I don't feel like it. If I only give thanksgiving when I feel like it, then much of my life is going to be controlled by emotions and the trouble that affects my emotions. And according to the Apostle Paul, whatever I do in word or deed, I am to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And this includes when I feel like it and when I don't feel like it. One of the truest expressions of faith is to express thanks in the midst of trouble. To believe that I have trouble, but that Jesus has overcome the world. It is my way of spiritually defying the powers of darkness and acknowledging the lordship of Jesus. So I just want you to know, with God's help, I'm going to count my blessings. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to worship with the hosts of heaven. I will be grateful. I will sing. I will shout. I will dance. I will make a joyful noise. And I will exalt his name. And I will do it whether I feel like it or I don't feel like it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you say that with me? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand and say it. So let's say it together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's say it again with some fervor. Blessed be the name of the Lord.